mean, personally, I always try to avoid hatred. It's, you know, it has a high transaction cost. There was a wonderful line from one of the Godfather movies in which one of the Godfathers says, never hate your enemy because it affects your judgment. I think that's good advice. Take a couple steps back. We were talking about the element of fiscal strength in the Me Too movement, concern on that. My impression is that if there's a female who's, you know, lifting weights and has a little bit of training in self-defense, that she could hold her own quite easily against your average male who was probably not in that good of a shape. I mean, it doesn't mean the threat is gone, but, you know, it's great. It's a lot easier for women to carry concealed firearms these days. I mean, that has to make some guys hesitate. And I think I would think that in the States where, as being out on hikes, I mean, especially if a woman's thinking about walking on her own, it's safer to do it in Virginia than it is in Maryland, partly because of the firearms laws. Very easy to get a concealed carry permit in Virginia.
What about D.C. after the Heller case and so on? Well, how's that work?
Hopeless. Hopeless.
No.
I mean, and there are so many, you know, I was doing a hike a few weekends ago. The hike leader is a great fellow from Syria, and he was going down by the D.C. waterfront and going by a subway there in, I guess, southwest D.C., and I was kind of puzzled. You know, there was just a shitload of police cars everywhere. I'm thinking, dude, man, you know, I don't like coming here and see all these cops. Got back home, checked online, Washington Post. There's just been a murder in that area. So, actually, that's not an area I prefer to hike in.
Next, go somewhere else. So, this midterm election, you got to give me some predictions of what you think, you know, from in the belly there. You know, what's going on?
I think the Republicans will hold the Senate. They might add a couple seats. Last I heard, the House is almost a toss-up. I guess the Democrats have got a little bit of a chance of better than average taking control of the House. I don't know how much good that would do them. I mean, something that would be great, there are a number of senators, both of both parties, who are trying like hell to pull the leash in on Trump's foreign policy nitwittery, to pull us away from Saudi Arabia. People like Rand Paul are trying to stop the war fever against Iran. There are some senators who are saying, you know, let's just get the hell out of Syria. This would be great. So from that sense, it'd be great to see more Capitol Hill pushback against Trump's bad ideas. Flip side is most of the bad ideas that Trump has are popular on Capitol Hill. So,
you know, well, it's popular with military industrial. You want to spend money, but the I'm looking at China and Russia and hypersonic missiles and whatever. It's just going to make this current buildup obsolete. And I got a missile, take out your aircraft carrier. What are you going to do about it? You know. So it's like all these other countries are the small little women with a 1911.
Okay.
You know, so we're on a more level play. I don't know. It just seems like art of the deal. Everything that Trump does has some negotiating position for later. You know, and it's amazing when you got North and South Korea just taking out landmines. I'm going, well, there's a W for you. But then he goes, well, they don't do anything without our permission, and he just pisses them off. You know, but it seems like every time he does something stupid like that, he either spins it into his favor or you find out later it was kind of on purpose. Did you read Art of the Deal?
No.
You know, I have Dr. Frank Tamburi. We do the Trump Report every week, and that was it's been over 3.5 years. Every week for hours, we do the Trump Report. 3.5 years since the summer of 2015. So I've heard it all, man. And my whole thing is you're still voting, but you get that perspective of how he uses these different, and you can predict what's going to happen. We'll see. This midterm thing, I don't trust the system itself, but I'm very interested in, you know, the talk. I don't care. It's not going to make any difference. The economy is going to trump everything, literally. So what do you think economics, what you see on the horizon there?
Well, it's interesting. I think Trump was hoping that the stock market plunge would happen after the midterm election. It's already starting to happen. Maybe it'll bounce back. You know, I have my impressions, but they aren't worth a tinker's dam. So
give you something to write about later.
Terrible thing for guests to say, right?
Yeah. Well, I, you know, just read what you say. Okay. Now, what are you working on now? What's some of the issues that you got you all going?
Oh, I've been having fun with CSA. Hey, thanks for posting my podcast on my experience with going through my latest clash with TSA, where I'm doing a paw by paw recap of going through TSA at National Airport. You know, I'll probably be writing more about the FBI. There's a couple stories I'm hustling right now on various things. You know, it's interesting. It's sort of like trying to peel an onion at this point, because there are so many different levels of political and federal BS. And, you know, almost every day brings a whole new crisis. And it's like, and maybe some of them are not completely bullshit. I don't know.
I'm wondering, do you think even that Trump would ever address or administration or the courts about pulling back this TSA thing, or at least allowing me to get on a plane without being sexually molested? I mean, where?
I wish. Yeah. Now, something that would be good there is if every congressman had to get an enhanced pat down every time that they flew. I mean, lots of these congressmen got pre-check, so they just waltz right through. And, yeah. And I think some of the TSA places might give them a silver platter treatment. But if every congressman got their groins jammed every time that they flew, they'd fix this real fast.
Oh, Ron Paul did, you know, back in the...
He
does not like it. He's like, oh, I always opt out. Do you opt out or something? Is that why you're getting pawed?
I've done that most of the time in the last few years when I was flying out of Nashville, and I was already surly that morning, so I said, screw it, I'll just go through the stupid whole body scanner. I forgot to take off my belt, so I still had the enhanced pat-down, but it wasn't as bad as it was in Portland, where a TSA agent tried to turn my family jewels into a pancake.
Yeah, no, we're at the end of the show now, we can just yak it, but it was in Philadelphia, and coming out, and it was a guy, man, he was probably 6'2", 280 pound, big black guy, nice enough guy, but, you know, I don't know if he knew how strong he was, but he like did curls. My heels came off the ground. I mean, it was, you know, I'm going, holy crap, seriously?
Well, it's all bullshit. I mean, because, you know, there's no reason to be jamming the people's groins. I mean, and, you know, the guideline is that they should keep pushing until they meet resistance. Well, that's balls. My story last week in USA Today talked about how women have complained on Twitter about TSA agents who hit four times their vulva. And it's like, this doesn't have anything to do with safety. This is just degradation.
Yeah, I remember when the first realization when it first started, it was during the Lovolution. I was flying around and so on. And it scared me. In front of me was a young couple in their mid early 20s, and he had two little kids, like two and three, four, around that age. And they were taking their shoes off, putting them in the little gray basket. And there was a TSA guy there with a wand standing right there before they even went through the scanners and so on. And the mother's going, now you take off this, you do this, you put it in here for the nice man. I'm going, oh my God, this is generational training of papers, please. They are training a generation. They got two generations right there, just, you know, Zieg Heil in this whole thing. I'm going, holy crap, it's a psyop.
Well, and it's just, it's been disappointing to me that there are not more people who are actively criticizing it and condemning it. It was interesting, a number of the women who I quoted in USA Today last week were left liberal, fiercely anti-Trump. No problem with that, but...
They're blaming Trump. You know, what did Obama's role in this whole thing? I mean, come on.
Obama made TSA so much worse, and everybody forgets. Like, they forget almost every other bad policy Obama initiated or worsened.
I don't think that is going to be that. This is why I always say, they go on about whatever the, you know, controversy du jour is. And I go, look, I'm just waiting for Trump, the movie. Because I think, you know, as we look back on this time, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be, so if somebody does a really good movie, to see the manipulation, it's like 30s Germany or something, you know, and it building up. Now, is Trump the, you know, the feared chancellor that we were kind of looking at? They want to make him out to be that. I don't think he's going to be that position, but I think there's one that may be coming.
I mean, there's a shitload of precedents that Trump is setting that are really bad news. And many of Trump's policies are bad. But, Hillary Clinton would probably be worse. We might be at war with Russia right now. So,
yeah, do you fear, that or Iran or foreign policy? Is he, what do you think is going to be happening?
Happening as far as what exactly?
Or, we're going to get mushroom clouds? Are we going to have an active dust up with China and, Russia?
Don't know, and that's another one of those things where my opinion is not worth a plug.
Well, what the hell's with Bolton? Why we even got him? Oh, how the hell did he get up there?
Shit. Oh, yeah. That's a nightmare. That's just a total nightmare.
Well, is he part of this, art of the deal thing? He's using him or what?
I don't know. I mean, he's just, he's toxic. He's toxic, so. But I have to be careful what I say because people go on the Ernie Hancock show and have their political careers ruined, as we're seeing the Arizona Senate race right now.
Oh, did you catch all that, did you?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, oh, great. Well, yeah, Ernie's going to say, well, tell me what you really think. I'm thinking, well, I'll screw myself forever. Thank you, Ernie.
Well, this Senate, well, you saw that the McSally Kirsten thing going on here. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just when CNN called me, I knew I had that show. I knew Powell's senior editor ran against her in 2012. It was a big giant. That's how she got in, was the Libertarian getting 8% or something. So you think we didn't know we had that show? I could make all kinds of crap out of that. I just don't care. It's just so much good. What's better, the Republican? So when the CNN, they saw an article that I had written back in 2012 referencing that show and her role in Katrina and how Sandy, did and voluntarily Malone will fix it and all that kind of stuff. He's like, oh, I need that show. I got to have it. And we had moving from servers. It wasn't, the link was broken. And he goes, we got to have that show. Got to have that show. Got to have that show. And I go, look, if I give it to you, I'm going to give it to everybody. I'm going to repost it, put it up, make a big deal, because I know what's going to happen. I do, and you, I would think you would, too. You're throwing a left semi, was anti-war somebody progressive up there under the bus. You know what's going to happen, right? And they're like, yeah. Oh, no. We're going out. She used to be really anti-war, and now she's not. And she's really just, kissing butt on Israel and wants to do war just to get elected. I'm going, where you been, man? How old are you? And he's 28 years old. And I go, when I was your age is when I first started getting knowledge of this in the late 80s, and I didn't have the internet. And if you're at CNN and you have access to these tools and you see this stuff, you know exactly what's going to happen with this. And if you don't, man, what the hell am I talking to you for? So I go, Andrew, I'm doing this for you. I'm going to give this to you and give it to everybody, and I know what's going to happen. So I did that Monday show for 3 hours talking about everything. I met with, had dinner with John Buttrick. He had a bunch of experiences with Kirsten in the 2000 election cycle when she represented Ralph Nader in a mock presidential debate where he was representing Harry Brown. So I'm going, okay, this is interesting. Then you had, when he was a judge, he set up a program where the judges would go to the legislature and legislature to the judicial and watch each other and do when they had, and hilarity ensued. But cinema was part of that. And the Republicans wouldn't sit with the Democrats, so they had to do two different things, to keep them apart, seriously. So during all of this stuff, you don't get any of who funded her as being anti-war. She was Socialist Party, then went Green, then went Progressive Democrat. Then her evolution was how can she build coalitions to get 50 plus 1% to win? This was her thing. It was never anti-war. It was pro-Kirsten from the beginning. And that was the point I was making through this. But I knew, what's my option? McSally? I'm going, they're both the same. They're saying the same thing for the same reasons, I'll work with anyone. Well, I'll work with, I hate Trump until I don't like hate Trump. I'm just like, I'm not helping you guys. So now it's just going, ouch, quit it. And I get calls from everybody wanting me to weigh in on this thing. And I go, nope. All I'm going to do is wait until after the election. And I'm going to dissect all the coverage of all you guys and who are the bullshitters and who got it right. And who got it right? And that's why I didn't release the audio conversation that I had with CNN, because I recorded it, because I know better, it's CNN. So I have that, and I didn't release that because he did a good job. He did what he said he was going to do, but everybody else has bitched this up. Now, Fact Check did a thing, and they did pretty good, but this is just, that was a bad choice of words. But the,
No, it's fine. That's a different use of... I'm not used to bitched as a verb. So, I mean, hey, I go on Ernie Hancock, so I learned something. So.
So that was the whole thing. On the last night we did the discussion group, a bunch of the guys, they were like, all right, Ernie, what's the rest of the story? Skip to the end. I don't want to listen to the 3-hour podcast, but show. This is why I hate politics so much, and I thought I almost made it. There is never an election I don't get sucked in some way, okay? So this one, I mean, as last couple few weeks, and I looks like I met. Nope, they pulled me back in.
This is something that you're a lot more revved on than I am, but you're a talk show host, I'm not. I mean, I'm kind of following it, and it's just kind of, it's sort of like watching a... it's like that scene in the Fugitive movie where you see the slow motion train wreck. So I'm curious to see where it's going to end up laying. There's a lot of bastards, I hope, who get knocked off by voters. Most of them won't. Almost all of them will get reelected on both parties. So, But,
Well, is there an evolution of the people? Are we learning stuff? Are we better informed about how the system works, or did it just make it worse?
I don't think the average, there's a cadre of people who are much better informed now. People that listen to Ernie Hancock show. But the average voter, I think, is probably as ignorant, if not more so, than they were 30 years ago, or even 70 years ago. There are surveys on political ignorance that there shows a decline over the last 50, 70 years, partly because people have lost some of their reading skills. People have gotten out of the habit of reading. People don't read newspapers like they used to, even though most newspapers are not that reliable. You at least get some handle on what the hell is going on. I mean, most people have got no idea a senator's term is 6 years. Shit, if you don't know that, then, there's so many levels.
And then a lot of the things, that was one of the deals that the guys was talking to me about. I go, look, whenever you are effective, when people do have a resource of a bunch of information, or they find jimbovard.com, and then you're purged. All the ones that really have a beat on what's going on with videos, boom, gone. Gone, next, don't get a Facebook page.
It's appalling what Facebook and Twitter have done, Facebook especially. I mean, oh my goodness. So many really decent folks, the cop accountability places, the Free Thought Project. I mean, I have disagreements with some of these places, but I mean, for the Facebook to partner with U.S. government-funded entities and then say, we are going to protect you from bad ideas. Okay, Facebook can do that, but why would anybody trust Facebook? I mean,
not with government funding.
I'm on Facebook, and I was on there a day or two ago, and it popped up and asked what I want for my news feed. I mean, like, nothing. I don't want news from you people. Shit, I go on Twitter or go on Google News or go on websites like yours to get the news. So.
At the event last night, there was several people. It was a popular thing. Jane Orient from the American Association of Physician Insurgents. So she's, we're going to be doing a lot of shows in the next couple of weeks on this stuff, healthcare and so on. But a lot of the people, it was popular, and people there, and they go, oh, love your site, love to read it all the time. I go, well, lucky you get it, because, I mean, a lot of men, you got to go through some hoops. They're doing everything they can to delete access to Freedom's Phoenix and a bunch of other stuff.
Are they?
Yeah. No, I get kickbacks.
I didn't know that you were getting hit on that, because I was, something I do a daily is a Google check to see where my name pops up. And as I mentioned, I was glad. I appreciate you posting the link to that TSA podcast. Oh, I don't know if you ever looked at those podcasts, but I'm starting out with this. If you have ideas what I should do differently, I welcome them. I welcome criticism. It's a challenge to try to get my humor, the cadence going right, the timing.
Hell, I don't. I'm not in a position to give anybody advice. I do it wrong, according to everybody.
Okay.
But I'll watch it. Yeah, I see it here. You know, we got you up. You giving my podcaster. I should do more podcast. I don't. I like doing. We have. There's another, you know, large network that we're in negotiations with right now. You know that we may go to, and so we're working on that. So that, I mean, that's
CNN, right?
No, but they. You know, it's kind of cool. We'll see what happens. But I'm really kind of getting. I know a lot of the audience likes what we do. They like, you know, being on the network. It's convenient for whatever. But I would prefer to do a podcast. I get the, you know, more flexibility in time when you can do it, what you can talk about, get ready with graphics, do. But until we went to, we just now are loading up the IPFS servers. And that whole technology has just got me, man. Here we go. Interplanetary file sharing. What it is, it's like the MadeSafe thing. Everything I've been screaming about, way the BBSs were in the 90s before they started going to the World Wide Web. And even Tim Berners-Lee comes out and says, hey, man, we're going decentralized and this web sucks and Google and Facebook can suck it. And you have you seen that?
No.
Dude, Tim Berners-Lee, decentralized web. He's coming out with a whole different, you know, thing. Well, not that I trust him. I mean, he did it the first time. But, you know, so my thing is that it's that mindset. IPFS is servers that you put and load all your stuff on, just like we have Freedom's Phoenix now. But an IPF server has the ability, you pin the files and they stay there, and you can pin them on other servers. We have a bunch of other people that will have servers that it would be replicated around the planet. When anybody requests a file, it loads to the nearest IPF server and it caches it there for a while. And so the more popular stuff, it scales. It goes faster. You're not slowing down. You're not going from one server. So if there's one file that's really popular, it gets replicated everywhere around the world. And then it might kind of drop off later. But you have other servers that pin it that it never goes away from, so that you always have the seed for it. So we're putting on Luke Radowski, We Are Change. We got Tragedy and Hope with Richard Grove and James Corbett and all of Freedom's Phoenix on the same servers. And I'm thinking Mr. James Bovard needs to have all his podcasts and everything on this network that is available via all the web and it never goes away. They can never take it off. They can never censor you. All of a sudden, I take this green screen I got here, and I've been for 3 years, I've had it up there and haven't done a single video because I want to use movie clips, sound clips, whatever I want, and they can't censor it or take it down, and they can suck it. Well, this is the ability for me to do that. Then you're going to see Ernie have me some fun. And we're setting it up now.
Good, good.
You want in?
Yeah,
you want in?
I'll keep that in mind. I mean, you know, I haven't done that many podcasts.
Doesn't matter. I just want your name on, you know, James Bovard's over there too. Go look IPFS. Just put it in a wiki search, whatever, and you'll get the idea.
IPFS, okay.
You need a Filecoin. You know, is one of the ones that one of the biggest ICOs ever, $200-something million, almost $300 million, just on the promise of doing this. You know, then you have MadeSafe, MAID, MadeSafe.net is they were the ones that from 2005. I've been following them for last 3, 4, 5 since. 5 years since 13 and their development of this, because that was what I told Andrew at CNN. I go, look, I'm going to do you a solid. You're 28. Get out of the house, man. I go, IPFS servers, this is the internet that's coming that's going to make all you guys obsolete, and it's going to go down to credibility and popularity and validity of what you're saying. And I go, if your credibility goes to crap, you are not going to have a place in the future of transfer of ones and zeros. It just ain't going to happen. So I go, but then the ISPs is where they're going to get you. Cox and AT&T are going to say you're not allowed to have access to whatever the hell. Satellite-based transmission is coming up. So this is what we've been covering, you know, on Pirates Without Borders and so on. So the internet's totally different in the next 2-3 years.
Well, it's overdue because there's so much bullshit, you know, with the social media restrictions at this point. So and as you mentioned, you know, Freedom Phoenix is getting, elbowed off. And so, good.
A lot of people are fighting it and whining. I don't care. I'm going, well, of course. I'm shocked it went this long. So, you know, we're going into the new. I will keep you informed, man, because we need some James.
I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks for coming on, you know, and, you know, Pimpin, it was good to get caught up with you before the election. We'll do it definitely after, but.
Yeah, there's a couple things which I could comment on if you're not taping, but.
Okay, hold on. Let me untape here, and then we can really.